And we're fellowshipping with one another. We can also fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful for that. That he's allowed me to be a part of the services and allowed me to be a part of the fellowship that we can have around him. This evening, just for a little while, then we're going to have communion. But here, just for the next few moments here, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. We know that who is out here in the world is trying to destroy the work that God had started many, many, many years ago. And there are still people today that are still trying to destroy his work. They've been trying to do that all of their life, and that's the only thing that they are focused in on, is trying to destroy God's precious work. But as long as we have his scripture, and as long as we have the Lord Jesus Christ on our side, and if you're saved, he's on our side. And I've read the last part of the book, so I know that when it comes down to the part that I may not be here to maybe worship him in spirit and in truth. But you know, up until that time, I don't believe that I'm going home. I don't believe I'm going home by the grave. I believe I'm going home through the air. And it says, and I'm not going home by no airplane. I'm not going by no all these Sputniks that the TV talks about. And the orbit up there, they go to the moon. They go to up there and they want to find a planet up there. Well, I want to tell you something. If they just come on and just join in, accept the Lord Jesus Christ, they ain't got to worry about none of that. They can go where there's not going to be no pain, there's not going to be no agony, and I thank God for that. I really do. There's not going to be no inner ear. There's not going to be no wheelchairs. There's not going to be no arthritis. There's not going to be no runny nose. There's not going to be any of them things, because everything is going to be completely at peace, and we're going to be at harmony, and we're going to be able to talk to one another, and we're going to have everything in harmony. We're not going to be arguing, but people today, they want to try to pick up, and they want to try to maybe get a Christian into something like this discussion or something. But you better watch out, because what they're trying to do, they're trying to get you into an argument, and that's all they want you to do is argue with them. And if you end up arguing with them, then they're going to use that against you. They'll use that against you and against me anytime we argue about the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is nothing that we need to argue about. We know what the Word of God says, and we know that that the Word of God is there for us to read and for our understanding. And it says over there in John chapter 14 and verse 26, it talks about the Holy Ghost, and speaks about where the Holy Ghost, where he will teach you all things, and he will teach you everything that this book has, from Genesis 1:1 to the book of Revelations 22:21 there. He will teach you everything in between. He will even teach you what's on the front cover. He will even teach you what's on the rim here. He will teach you what is ever in this book here. But we need not to worry about some of the things that we may read and we don't understand, because it says in the latter part of that one verse there is basically telling us that we don't need to worry about things that we cannot, that we don't understand at the time. And I think the reason is that John had it written down like that, and the Holy Ghost give it to John like that, is because the Holy Ghost just don't want us to get bogged down and trying to figure this out and trying to figure that out and try to get so deep, because if we do, we're going to get away from him. We'll get away from him and we'll start get out into the world and we'll try to start figuring things out on our own. And that's where people mess up. That's where we all mess up, when we start trying to figure out things on our own. And we know what the Word of God says there, and it talks about when we come into these situations that come in to our lives and everything, He'll bring Scripture back to our remembrance, and He will bring it to us. Whether we've ever read it or not, He will bring the Scripture into our remembrance. We may have read other passages of Scripture and every book of the in other books of the Bible and everything, but maybe there's one passage that we have never read and we've never understood it. Where when we get to a point in our life that we are at that I don't know how to put it, but at that point in our life that where we don't have the answer to it, or we can't figure out what's going on, then what He'll do, He'll take and bring back the remembrance that's in the Scripture. Not what we have read, but what He has put there. And He'll give it to us to where we can go forth and we can give it out. Now, here right here, we see in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31 down here, it's talking about Peter and Peter's denial, and he's talking about where Peter right here, he didn't deny the Lord Jesus Christ so many different times right here, and before this and even after this, he's denied the Lord Jesus Christ at different times. But right here, the Lord Jesus Christ is also speak to him and said, "The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now right here, in verse 31, it says, "has desired to have you." What he's saying right, what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying right here, the Lord Jesus Christ, he said that Satan has come to him, and Satan, he wants you. He wants you to serve him. He wants to try to see what he can do with you, like he did Job there. When he tried to take Job, he was a righteous man. And not only was he a righteous man, but I believe Job also feared God. I believe Job feared God to the point that he was not going to give in to anything that Satan done. You know the story there in the book of Job, where Job lost everything he had, everything he's ever worked for, and everything that God had given him. Job lost every bit of it. Why did Job lose it? Because he would not turn his back on his father. He would not turn his back on his father. So he lost it all. He lost all his land. He lost his cattle. He lost his wealth. He lost his children. Satan took his children. And Satan took everything he had. But he could not get a hold to his soul. And Job was a righteous man toward God. And Satan also, he went back to God the Father, and he said, "Father," he said, "you know something? Right now you're saying that I can have Job, but you're allowing me not to touch Job." He said, "I've given you everything else that Job had. What else do you want?" He says, "I want his life." God says, "You'll never take his life. You can take anything you want from him, you'll never take his life." Job, he still went on and served God. Now, in speaking about Job and everything, we know where all Job went through and everything, and he was covered from the top of his head, from the crown of his head, to the bottom of his feet with sores, with boils on him, where he didn't have no place at all, that where you could see just skin there. It was boils all over his body. And he took the pottery there that he had and that had dried out and cured and everything, and he went and he broke them, and he take and scraped his body. He scraped where them sores was. Why did he do that? To relieve the pain. To relieve the pain that he was going through with all the sores and everything, the boils that was on his body. Satan wanted him. Satan would do anything he could to get a hold of Job. But Job feared God enough that he would not give in to Satan. What happened? Job's not the only one that lost everything. His wife also lost her children. She had lost what her husband had worked for all his life for, and all the blessings that God has blessed Job. She lost the same thing. What did she say to Job? When Job went, when he sat down on them coal of ashes there. And why did he sit down on the coals? He sat down on the coals there to relieve some of the pain. And his wife was there right beside of him and looking at all the agony and everything that Job was going through. And Job's wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" She loved Job so much that she was willing to allow Job go on home. But Job would not even do that. So she lost a whole lot too. It wasn't just Job that lost it. And these preachers I hear talk about, well, Job's wife, she cursed God, and she told Job, said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" That's what a whole lot of, and they stop on right on that. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It takes a mighty big man, and it takes a mighty big lady to say them things. To where a husband was in so much pain and so much agony. Have you ever seen a loved one in so much pain and so much agony? You see him in a hospital lying there, and it's nothing that you could do. And the doctor says, "Well, it's nothing else I can do." And you say, "Well, we know God. God can do all things. God is the miracle-working God." But people today won't allow God to come in and perform the miracles that He wants to perform in individuals' lives. He keeps them from doing that. Simon Peter right here, Satan said, Jesus talking to Satan, and after Satan had talked to Jesus, he asked him, he says, "Can I just have him for a little while?" And the Lord Jesus Christ asked Satan, he said, "What do you want to do? You just want to sift him as wheat." What he's saying right there is, he said, "I want to get him away from you for a while. I want to get him away from the other followers. I want to get him away from the things that you're doing, the miracles that you're performing." And he's doing the same thing today. He's trying to get us away from the Word of God. You know what he's doing today to get us away from the Word of God? He's allowing all these books, the Bible bookstores and Christian bookstores I hear, allowing them to put up all these other I don't know what you call them. They ain't the Word of God. They're not the Bible. They're perversions is what they are. They're perversions. They are perverted Bible. They're not the gospel, because the gospel is the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. But I'll tell you one thing. We need to get away from all these other forms of Bible. We need to stick close to His Word. And I believe with all authority. Now, this is what I am. I want you to go out here and say that I got the original manuscript, because I don't. There's nobody that's living on the face of this earth right today has the original manuscript. Nobody. Nobody has the original manuscript. Because God the Father, what did He do? He put that original manuscript and He stored it there in heaven. And why did He store it there in heaven? So when we come, when he carries me home, when he carries you home, he's not going to call for my Bible. He's not going to call for the King James Bible that I hold in my hand. He's not going to call for this. He's not going to call for that commentary that I have at home, that I try to look up in Scripture and everything. He's not going to call for that. He's going to say, "Son, go get me, my friend. Go get me the word that I've stored there in heaven. And it's been stored there ever since the day of the beginning, before Genesis 1:1. It's been stored there in heaven. And it's been prepared there for one day. And it's just as good for today as it was back then. But people today, you know the reason they got all the other translations? So they can take it and maybe satisfy their own little flesh. If that's all I'm doing up here today is trying to satisfy my flesh, then the best thing I can tell you to do, y'all need to kick me out of this door as hard as you can and tell me you need to get somewhere. You need to go down where the snakes are. But I'm not up here like that. I'm not going to tell you something that's not in the Bible. Hey, yes, I come short every day. I sin every day. But thank God I have one verse there in 1 John 1:9. It says, if I confess unto Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, if I confess my sin unto Him, what He is just and faithful to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Not only will He just cleanse me for that one unrighteousness there, that one sin that I've committed, He will cleanse me from the sin that I forgot about. You know, we don't have the mind. We don't have the mind enough to remember all the sin that we commit. Do you realize that? We don't have the mind to think about all the sin that we commit. What did He say over in Romans? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short. Yes, we've all sinned. We all come short each and every day. But thank God we have the Word of God where we can get back in there and we can be revitalized, renewed each and every day. It says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. What He's telling Simon Peter right here, and this right here, word right here, it's being it's talking about being converted right here and strengthening his brother. That's not the converted that we speak about a whole lot of time. When a lost soul comes to know Jesus Christ, yes, they've been converted right then because they have a new body. Because they've been cleansed from the head all the way to the bottom of the soul. They've been cleansed. Their body is done up. The sin that's in their body is done away with. He's not speaking about that type of converted. He's speaking about right here where Satan, when he has desired Peter. And he knows, God knew, and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, but all three of them knew that what Satan wanted to do was to get Peter away from God. Get him away from the Word of God. Get him away from the fellowship. The thing that God and the Satan loves to do. He loves to get us, but we don't have fellowship one with another. But we don't have fellowship. You know, if someone has an ought or someone has something to against me or whatever, and they don't want to come to me and apologize,
And if I know that there's a wrong between me and them, if it was my fault, I don't know. If it's their fault, they don't know. I don't know whose fault it is. One of us has got to be the bigger Christian. One of us has got to be the bigger individual to go to. And I'd rather go to an individual that hates my guts and apologize to them, even if I've done anything wrong, to where we can be able to talk to them. Hey, what is so wrong with our two words? There are two words that I see today where the Christians, it's hard for them to say. You know what the two words are? I'm sorry. We don't like to say it. You know the reason we don't like to say it? It's because we don't think we've done anything wrong. But we have. We sinned against God every day. We've done something wrong. We need to say, do we go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. I know I was supposed to go visit someone. I was supposed to go and call someone. God, and I didn't do it.
I was a little too tired. I was just a little too tired. So I didn't go. We don't trust God enough that all we have to do is make the first step towards our door or towards the telephone or whatever, and to pick up the telephone or go get an automobile. And as soon as we take that first step and we go that direction, and God knows that we're going into that automobile and we're going and visit somebody, then guess what? Your headache's gone. Hey, what's the difference? When you rather be in God's house? When you rather be in God's house with a headache than be at home with the headache? Because if you're at home with the headache's going to continue lasting on and on and on. But if you come to church, come to God's house, you get up and you start singing the songs of thine, and the next thing you know, the headache will be gone. Or you don't even think about it. That's the reason we have headaches. It's because we think about the headache. We try to come up with excuses not to come to church. We think about headaches. And when we think about headaches, what happens? We end up with a headache. We end up with a headache. Then we don't come to church. And that was a blessing. A church waiting for you personally. Where you say, well, preacher, I can come back Wednesday night. And I can receive that blessing Wednesday night. You can receive a blessing Wednesday night. But the blessing that was here on Sunday night and you didn't show up for it, that's gone. That blessing is gone. Somebody else has took that blessing. He's not going to save up his blessings for you for the next week, because in knowing the people today the way they are, it's a good possibility they won't be back. So what are they going to do? He's just going to store up blessings all year long till the end of the year, and they'll come for Christmas. You know the reason people come for Christmas? Is because the people know that Christmas represents the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason they come. And they think that they can come. They can receive the blessing that they've lost all year. That God would just pour them out of them for a blessing. But they ain't really what they're looking for. They're looking for the blessing as well. Family members would bring gifts. And I know people today, and I'm going to close with this, and we're going to take and have communion.
But you know, there's people today that really don't celebrate Christmas. And I know the reason a whole lot of them don't is because they dress up and they have Santa Claus come out and everything. Well, you know, that is for the children. That is for the small children. And we need to raise up our children to where they know the difference between Santa Claus and Jesus. But just think about it. What everything the tree represents. The tree represents the cross, the way he was hung on. Then you had the ornaments. Then you had the lights. All of that is a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord allows me to, you'll come to find out some of that is in that tabernacle right there. It's in that. We must not get off on things. We cannot get off on things. If we get off on things, and if I get off on things, I'll miss the biggest blessing of them all, and seeing someone getting saved. That's what I'm here for. That's the reason I'm here. I am here to see souls saved. And if souls saved, then we don't have to worry about the church. The church will grow. Anybody that wants to come in and join a church and fellowship that's already saved, and they used to belong to another church, and they won't get nothing out of the other church or whatever and everything, if they want to come, hey, I'll welcome them in. As long as they get under the gospel. As long as they come in and they want to hear the gospel. There's a church right here in the city of Danville right now. They're growing leaps and bounds. People are going in and joining the church. Leaps and bounds. And the pastor, he ain't been there that long. But I will say within the last 3 to 4 months, over right at almost 100 people has ended up coming. Now, that's a growth in numbers only. But you know what the true growth is? It's in a soul getting saved. Because then you can bring them in. Then you can teach them. You can teach them the doctrine. You can teach them what we believe at Faith Baptist Church. We can teach them what the Word of God is saying. And they're not going to come in and try to tear up the work that God has set up here. But when you start having multitudes of people to come in and join a church by letter or by statement, and they say, well, yeah, I'm saved. I just want to join the church. I got, you know, me at the other church, we just couldn't get along and everything. Well, I'll say this. If they couldn't get along, then it's not going to be a while. The same thing's going to happen where they went. They're not going to get along. So why don't they stay there and just stick things out? Why don't they just stay there and allow them to listen to God? And don't get me wrong. People today said, well, I believe God led me to this church as a member. Why does someone want to leave a church that's hearing the gospel? And if everything else is going fine, and if they hear the gospel, just because somebody had their feelings on the shoulder, because somebody didn't speak to them right, because somebody sat down beside of them and didn't have on the $300 dress, or didn't have the $500 suit on, well, I can't go with them hypocrites. You got a dress like they get. Well, ain't but one thing I can say. get out of church, the hypocrites are closer to God than you are. We got too many people talks about hypocrites. We're all hypocrites. We're all hypocrites. I'm a hypocrite. Everyone else is a hypocrite. Because it's things that we don't like that goes on that we don't like. But God said, why is that? Why is that? Just like Paul said. Paul said, what did Paul say? He says, if I can quote it right. Some of Paul's writing can get your tongue kind of twisted. Mine's already twisted, so y'all just bear with me. Paul's talking about it, says, there are some things that I should have done that I did not do. And that's with some things that I did do that I should have not have done. I mean, there's number one perfect individual. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason he hung on Calvary. He was the spotless Lamb of God. He didn't have no spots. He didn't have no wrinkles. He didn't have nothing. It wasn't nothing. There wasn't pure. There wasn't had been tried and through the fire. What does the fire represent? Purification. He's been through the fire. Satan put him through the fire. Why did Satan put him through the fire? Because he knew that we was going to have to deal with Satan also. He knew that Satan was going to put us through the fire. So what do we do? We must just sit back and we must just praise the Lord. We must just enjoy our salvation until on the way home, because we're supposed to be practicing for it. Now, in the next few months, everywhere you see, and you're going to see any paper and everything, they're going to start practicing for this. They're going to start practicing for that. They're going to start practicing for the upcoming Christmas program. And they're going to spend 3 and 4 months on practicing. Putting on this skit for the Christmas program. But then, the rest of the year they don't practice nothing. They're supposed to be practicing. Going home. We must be practicing saying, yes, I love you, Lord. I love you for what you've done for me. And when the book of Titus, what does he tell us? We must look for the grace. What is that appearing? The Lord Jesus Christ. We must have our ears tuned in to heaven. Now I'm gonna say something here, and I'm not picking on nobody. But I'm gonna say this, and I know some of you, and you'll know what I'm talking about. But we as Christians, a whole lot of times when we come in church, what we'll do, we'll turn the spiritual hearing aids off. And see, when you turn your spiritual hearing aids off, what do you hear? You don't hear anything from what comes from the song. You don't hear anything that comes from the prayer. You don't hear anything from the Sunday school teacher. You don't even hear anything coming from the preacher. Why? Because you've got your spiritual hearing aids off. But if we're all saved, what we must do, we must come in and say, Make sure it's turned on. Sister Donna, if you'll hear anything turned on, you can't hear something. That's what our problem is. We don't have a spirit to do. That's the reason we don't give to God. We have got to have a spiritual hearing aid turned on. I want to have with, because I tell you what, if we done, and I love that. I love just to think about that. I mean, what if I was in church and I just said, well, I'm going to cut all of my thoughts off. I'm not going to listen to Brother Bill and the Sunday school lesson where he's going to teach about this morning and what the songs they sing. I'm not going to. I'm just not going to listen. I'm not going to hear it. I'm going to try to get my own train of thought and everything out. But then the next thing you know, hallelujah, I'm going somewhere. And I missed the trumpet. I missed hearing the trumpet. I missed hearing that distinct sound. I missed hearing that distinct sound. And I don't want to miss that distinct sound. Nobody's ever blowed a trumpet like that one's going to be blown. And we're going to be able to hear. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for tonight. And we thank you for the message. And Father, we thank you for speaking to our own heart, Father. And Lord, Father, as we go in and take communion now, we pray, Father, that you will be with each and every one of us. And Lord, we be mindful of thy spirit tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. Y'all awake? We'll make sure you're awake. Don't get no idea, Jim. But I don't do this at home. Do what? I must have got myself in trouble. Don't know anything about it. Y'all please let me know what I done. So I can expect that when I get home. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat,
This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 25 says, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat the bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. It says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink that of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not concerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. All right. At this time, why don't we all just come down and gather right here, and we'll sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. For the people gathered around, and I don't forgot the name of the song that they sung, but I've got a word of testimony first before we sing.
Anything you want to thank your Lord for? Hey, we have a whole lot to really thank your Lord for. And I want to thank you that are here, that y'all have took me and my wife in, and y'all treated us both like family. From my heart into y'all's heart, my wife's also, is there anything that we can ever do for you? And if we can, we will do it. All you have to do is pick up your phone. Let's sing amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the song that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's we first begun. Amen. Hallelujah.
We love
you. Amen.
We on key.
That's all right. Hey, don't matter. We're on key, off key down here. We're going to all be on key, and all we're going to all sing beautiful. Sure won't. Hallelujah. And guess what? I'm going to be able to play that part. That's right. I'll be able to play it, won't even miss a note. Oh, me. Thank you.